Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is returning on Monday. That's right, folks. Jane Matinair, this show is named after Jane Matinair. We'll be returning to the big chair on Monday, and I've had a blast for the past couple weeks being your sit-in host. But it's been fun, and I've been having a great time with Calvin. Calvin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, Greg?
Yep.
The fun's not going to stop when Jane gets back.
No.
It's just going to get even more fun.
It's going to get funner, as English professors would correct me on. No, it's absolutely, the fun's not going to stop. But I've been having a blast with you and all of our great guests, Angela Lang, Amy Westrup. I mean, we've had some wonderful people here. Brian Kelly's been in the room talking to us, and all the people we've spoken to. And it just, yeah, we had a really good time, and we're going to keep that fun going. We got 60 days until the election, Cal. That's overwhelming, feels like it.
It seems so far away, but also so close, breathing down our neck at the same time.
I know, just more commercials, more ads, more talking about it, but we got to talk about it because this is a very, very important election. Everyone always says it's the most important election of our day, and it may be the case, but it is very important. If you want to find out more about just what's on your ballot, what's going on in your neighborhood, who your representatives are, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. You can plug in your information. You can find out where your polling place is. You can find out who your representatives are. You can find out if you are registered, because sometimes if you've moved a lot, you haven't gotten back to them about it, you're taken off the rolls. Sometimes states are doing nefarious no goods and they take you off the voter rolls. Regardless, we want to make sure that you are prepared, because if you are not registered, Calvin, I think this is a fair assumption. If you are not registered and you have to do it on the day, which you still can do in Wisconsin, but, you know, let's not let the GOP and Madison have their way, it will be a wait in line. People will be queuing up to register to vote. So if you can't vote until the day of and you have to register, just be prepared. Wear some comfy shoes, bring a snack, you know. But we want to make sure you are informed on what's going on. I believe you still have some time to request an absentee ballot. You can do that through myvote.wi.gov and get that taken care of. We have a very packed show for you today at 10:33. We've got the founder of the Recombobulation Area / political editor for Civic Media / coworker / my friend, Dan Schaefer, is joining us for one full hour at 10:33. We're going to be talking about all the stories he's working on right now, all the things that are happening, including we're talking about voter ID, which is a very important issue to talk about in this state. We're going to be talking about the Packers. We're going to be talking about J.D. Vance and Trump. But stick around. That's going to be at 10:33. And then at 11:33, Calvin, I don't know about you, but I am not a big believer in ghosts. In fact, I'm a tiny believer, a non-believer in ghosts. Todd Michaels, producer extraordinaire for Civic Media, will be joining us at 11:33 to talk to us about his love for ghosts and other things he does around here. He's just a fantastic human being. I adore him. And also, Cal, did you know that he's on vacation and he's still joining us?
Yeah, I mean, he's just an incredible, incredible man. And, you know, he is on vacation, but he's joining us to talk about ghosts, which he loves. So I'm sure it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have a great time with Todd at 11:33. So stick around. You can also be part of the conversation by calling 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text on that number. You can also download the Civic Media app, which is free. Go to your favorite app store of choice, download the free app, and you can call and text through the app. You can also make a comment on the live stream if you'd like. We are currently on the live stream channels of Facebook. We are also on YouTube, and we are also on Twitter, which in this house, we call it Twitter, because every time you call it Twitter, Elon gets a little more upset because he spent $44 billion on Twitter. So are you on Twitter, Calvin?
I am.
Oh.
And it's, I hate to admit it, it's my preferred social media.
Okay.
And it was before Elon bought it, and I've noticed things that are odd about it. There's changes that I don't like, but it's just a unique collection of things that doesn't get bogged down in the same way as Facebook does.
Mm-hmm. Facebook feels jumbly. It feels clunky. Twitter, I will say, after Elon took over, just people got into my feed that I never wanted to even hear from ever. And the thing is, they're not even bringing good information. They're not even bringing like powerful arguments for me to think about my values. It's just like, did you hear the one about $150,000 to illegal immigrants in California? That's Kamala Harris. Only they pronounce her name incorrectly. Point is, we are on Twitter. So find the live stream. Drop a comment in the live stream. I already see Vicky Hackbarth on the live stream saying, hello, hello to you, Vicky. Hello, tipping the hat. And yeah, we're going to have a great show. I want to start off the show today with some great news for Wisconsin. It's great news for Wisconsin, Calvin. Guess who is back in town?
Craig Culver.
No, but he's always in our heart. That's the thing.
Always.
In our heart as we eat all of that wonderful food from Culver's. We're not endorsed by them, but feel free to drop free food off Culver's. But no, as much as I would love it to be Craig Culver, it was actually President Joe Biden. He was here in Wisconsin yesterday. He had an event to announce some really, really wonderful things coming to Wisconsin as well as across the country. He was in Westby, Wisconsin, and he was announcing that $7.3 billion, with a B, would be invested in electrification and clean energy infrastructure in rural areas across the country. And for you who do not know, Westby is about 30 minutes outside of La Crosse. It was an outdoor event. This was an official event. This was not a campaign event. This was not, you know, it wasn't a rally. We weren't in some place with 10,000 people. This was a great event where he was making a wonderful announcement, talking about more investment being done through infrastructure, which is something that, you know, we now talk about a lot, but we didn't talk about this 10, 15 years ago. As Barack Obama said, infrastructure is not the sexiest thing to talk about, but we've gotten there where we have the Infrastructure Act, and $7.3 billion will be invested across the country. But to be specific, $573 million will be given to the Dairyland Power Cooperative in La Crosse. And that is going to be $102 million in the forms of loan, $471 million as a grant for the company. In total investment, $7.3 billion across 23 states. I think that's fantastic. And I just want to let the listeners know that I have reached out to the Dairyland Power Cooperative. I've reached out to their CEO to see if they'll come on the show and talk about it, because as much as, you know, I'm reading this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel written by Laura Schulte, we want to get them in here and we want to talk to them about what this means for the Dairyland Power Cooperative. We want to know what it means for rural Wisconsin and just Wisconsin and the country in general, because as we know, Calvin, campaigns, politicians, they come to the cities, they come to the big energy places, and the rural landscapes of this nation will get left behind. We've talked about this a lot. Pat Kreitlow, I've watched him talk to farmers about this, and you know, they love to come to the farms, but then at the end of the day, they get left behind. And this is a great thing that puts a permanent investment into the rural portion of Wisconsin. I don't know about you, Cal, but I think this is great.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'm going to actually disagree with President Obama a little bit. I think infrastructure is sexy. I think it is one of the few really tangible things our government can do for us. We can see it. We can interact with it. It's one of the few government things that you are guaranteed to interface with if you leave your house every single day. So yeah, I think infrastructure is really exciting and important that we keep investing in it.
Calvin, say it again. Say it again.
What, infrastructure is sexy?
That's right. All right. You heard it here on Mad and Air on Air. Right here, Calvin, Sweet Calby, Dr. Slide says infrastructure is sexy. And it is. And I don't disagree with you one bit. I think, you know, those things that are just in your life all day, every day, we don't think about. And until, and I'm not making light of it, when a bridge collapses and it's a bridge that needed work and we didn't think about it or we couldn't get the funding. Well, now we're getting the funding for all these projects. And between Joe Biden's announcement, and we'll be talking about an announcement from with Dan from Tammy Baldwin a little bit later, but bringing hundreds of millions and billions of dollars for projects all across this great state is something that benefits us all. I don't care who you voted for. I don't care what side of the political aisle you are on. when they come here to make the announcement of these kinds of dollars, this is stuff that benefits me, you, your grandma who disagrees with you at Thanksgiving, your little baby kid who 20 years from now has no idea what's going on, but they get to drive on good streets, on good bridges, have access to the internet, lowering energy costs. One of the great things about this about this grant is going to lower energy costs for people in rural areas. And I don't know how anyone can spin it any other way. I went to the congressman in the state to see if they were slamming it, your Derek's Van Orden and your Tom's Tiffany. And they're not even talking about it. Because I think for the most part, you can't really slag this thing off because it's just good for everyone. It's a positive piece of information. It's a positive piece of legislation. And they're more about the negative. They're going to tell you how everything and everyone is terrible. And I don't like that. So we're going to keep it positive right now. $573 million coming to Wisconsin to lower the energy costs for people in rural areas through the Dairyland Power Cooperative. And like I said, we have reached out to them to have them on the show to talk about further in detail how this will affect Wisconsin and the rural areas. If you live out there in the rural areas and this makes you excited, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'd love to hear from you. Drop a comment in the live stream and let us know how you feel about it. But yeah, we're going to be talking about this, and then we're going to be talking to Dan about some other great things going on, including the Packers. The Packers play tonight. The Packers are going to be they're in Brazil right now. I guess their hotel is an hour and a half away from, I almost said the venue, from the stadium. But yeah, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Don't go anywhere. Next coming up, I don't know if you knew this, Calvin, but former First Lady Melania Trump can now put author next to her name because she has written a book. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. What do you think about that, Cal?
I'll save it for when we come back.
All right, cool. You don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. Stay cool. Stay amazing. You are awesome. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who will be returning on Monday from a wonderful vacation. We got Sweet Cal B on the board. And don't forget, at 10:33, we got Dan Schaefer joining us for a full hour. And then Todd Michaels at 11:33, talk spooky, scary ghosts. And I think he also loves board games as well. But we'll be talking to Todd a little bit later. Stay close with that. You can also call us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Drop a comment on the live stream. We are streaming currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we in this house call Twitter. Also, I just want to go back really quick here about that story regarding Joe Biden and the $573 million that's going to be given to the Dairyland Power Cooperative. They estimate that the electric rates for their members will be 42% lower over 10 years. That would have given not been able to done with this sort of funding. So once again, we are just having great time with great news here. Now I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about former First Lady Melania Trump, who is First Lady, mother, I'm sure to some friend, but she is also now an author, and you can buy her brand new book, Melania, for $250.
Is that a joke?
No, it's not a joke. So this is Melania is the, I'm reading this, I didn't write this. Melania is the powerful and inspiring story of a woman who has defined personal excellence, overcome adversity, and carved her own path. The former First Lady invites readers into her world, offering an intimate portrait of a woman who has lived an extraordinary life. It includes stories and images never before shared with the public. And that is the super duper collector's edition that includes digital collectible, bonus photographs. You can either get it for $40, $75, or $250.
Okay, so there is a regularly priced book option.
Is $40 regularly priced, though, in my opinion? This is not like a memoir, like a presidential memoir that's like 500-600 pages, like a tome that's deep in the details of your life.
It's less than 300 pages.
It looks like a coffee table book to me. But I want to hear more about it, and we luckily secured a piece of audio from the woman herself who has written this book. Calvin, can you please play that clip?
Writing this memoir has been a deeply personal and reflective journey for me. As a private person who has often been the subject of public scrutiny and misrepresentation, I feel a responsibility to clarify the facts. I believe it is important to share my perspective, the truth.
They apparently don't believe in audio mix.
Was that it? Is she done talking? What?
Oh. Yeah, apparently that's it.
That was it. That's all the private person had to say right there. Really quick, Calvin, was I listening to the promo of a book or a Harry Potter movie? Because that was dramatic.
Very dramatic. One thing I would say is just save your money and buy Michelle Obama's book. It's probably the same thing.
It was not the same thing. I read that book and it's lovely. No, I've read both the books.
It was a plagiarism joke.
Oh, darn it. You see, Calvin, I'm a comedian and you're quicker than me almost every time. And Jane is too. And I'm very jealous of that.
I've been sitting on that joke since last night when I saw the Melania clip for the first time, so I won't say it's too quick-witted.
Well, look, you can write a book if you want. That's fine. I'm not against that. You want to speak your truth? Feel free. And the pictures that are included that they showed in the ad show her looking to have a genuinely good time and a with children and trips they're having across country and all over the world. But for me, because it's a Trump, outfit, it just seems like it's another way to get money, whether it's shoes, collectible cards, piece of Donald Trump's suit. This is all because she knows, we all know that people are going to spend $250 for this. So we know that it's going to sell out. And it just feels like another part of the Trump grifting machine, if you ask me personally, because she's very private. Then all of a sudden she comes out with a book and she's never come off as a warm person who cared about anybody in this country other than herself. So now she's trying to push this narrative of like, I'm now giving you the real me. I'm like, all right, cool. But $250? Really?
Yeah. I don't know if these are pre-orders, so maybe it'll be updated, but there's not even a dust jacket. It literally just says Melania.
I think that was purposeful. Plain. I think that's purposeful. I think that's you're going along that like clean lines, sparse type of thing. There's no picture of her. She doesn't want that. But yeah, it just to me seems like, as PJ on the live stream says, grifters will grift. And I just think that's part of it. Because if you look at her website, she also sells jewelry, collectibles, ornaments. I mean, it's just basically an Etsy page, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I mean, it's an industry and they're getting paid, but just a broader point about the literature industry. I don't even know how you would call that. The publishing industry.
There it is.
That's the word I'm looking for. I don't particularly like non-credited ghostwriters, like, because she didn't write this book.
No.
Well, so, and I'm fine with her having her name as her being associated with the writing of it, but I would like to know who actually wrote it.
Yeah, we're probably never going to find that out until, like, some ghost Twitter account saying, I wrote this book. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Because it wasn't a person who ghost wrote it. It was a person who typed it out with notes from 50 people.
Well, yeah. And I mean, this is just a larger problem I have with the publishing industry. Like authors, like best-selling authors, like James Patterson hired like tons of ghostwriters, and those ghostwriters, I mean, they're getting paid, I'm sure,
fairly good amount. But I would want to write the book for yourself and publish it yourself. I don't know.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I found it interesting. We were, there were things that I wanted to talk about this section. And I wanted to talk about the fact that, you know, neither Tom Tiffany nor Derek Van Orten were at the event yesterday with Biden. It's not a surprise. But then I went to their Twitter accounts and I just saw nothing but poison and vitriol and not even a, this is good for our farmers, which, you know, they both tout because that's very, very big farmland where they are at. But, you know, Melania writing a book, I feel like that's sort of breaking news, at least in my world. I see we have Troy from Mount Horeb on the phone. Troy, what's going on? What say you, my friend?
You know, this would be awesome if it was really the truth, but I'm sure there's an NDA that prevents her from writing anything close to the truth.
I mean, yeah, I don't even know if it's an NDA. I think she's smart enough to know that she's got to present the most beautiful, bright, glowing image of everything around her, including her husband. But yeah, we'll wait and see. I'm sure we'll be able to, we'll come back to this and talk about the reviews of the Melania Trump memoir. Hopefully I can see a copy of the $250 version, but that's for another time. We'll talk about that when the book comes out. Next coming up, we got Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor and coworker of ours, joining us for the next hour. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. Stay amazing. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Mattenair, who is currently on vacation. She'll be returning on Monday. We're very excited to see her again to continue the fun, Calvin. Continue the fun. But you can be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also drop a comment on the live stream, which is on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, because this house still calls it Twitter. Now, it's Friday. It's 10:30. You're all like, well, it's time for Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area to be here. Well, guess what? He's not on the live stream today. He's in studio.
In the house in Waukesha. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Dan. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Multi-award. What did you say? I saw on your Twitter. Was it 18 awards?
Something like that.
Oh, something. No, okay.
Something like that. Yeah.
He is also the newly minted, christened political editor for Civic Media. He is also our coworker, and he's here today to bring us five stories to recombobulate. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Always good to be here on Matt and Air on Air. Always good to be here with my coworker,
yeah,
Greg Bach.
Baby!
Just excited for a Friday. It's a beautiful day. We've got Packers football today.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who are joining on the video live stream, I'm wearing my favorite piece of Packers gear. My Antonio Freeman jersey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Excited for a Packers game day, excited for a Friday and a beautiful day in Wisconsin, and excited to be here to recombobulate with you, Greg.
I appreciate you being here, coworker and friend. You got some stories to talk about with us today, and we're going to start with the man, the myth. He's not a myth. He's the legend, Mr. Governor. I should call him Governor Tim Walz.
That's right. Tim Walz joined a show on the Civic Media Network this morning for an interview on Bull Falls Radio at the Chad Holmes Show. Mm-hmm. Joined for a brief interview, talked about, you know, if you haven't had a chance to listen in, you can catch it on Civic Media app. You can find it online in the podcasts and all that. But I thought it was a really great conversation that Mr. Holmes there had with Governor Walz. Talked a lot about, you know, just representing parts of being a Democrat in a rural district, being a Democrat in a swing district, you know, when he was a member of Congress. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, now as governor of Minnesota. So I talked a little bit about that. Also had to have a little fun on a Friday. and they asked Governor Walz what his Culver's order was.
Which is a very important question.
Which is an important question. You know, there's been a lot of, like, very Midwest-y content with Tim Walz. You know, there was the clip him talking about gutters a couple weeks ago.
And where he
you know, sang the Menards theme. So I figured, you know, we got to bring some more real Midwest content here. So they asked Governor Walz his Culver's order.
Cal, can you play that clip?
What is your Culver's order when you come either to Wisconsin or over in Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm a mushroom and Swiss guy. Onion rings most of the time. And then I just do just a plain custard cup to leave with. So I when I eat in-house, I do drink a lot of refills. I will say that. They probably lose money on that deal. But, yeah, that mushroom and Swiss burger at Culver's, man, that thing's to die for. So I'll give you that. Wisconsin's got that going hard for it.
What is your Culver's?
I love that. That makes me want one.
Perfectly Tim Walz there. Yeah. To, you know, it's not the top thing on the menu.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit of a deep cut to go with the mushroom Swiss burger and then with the onion rings. The one thing that I have a question about, though, calling it plain custard. Now, he called it custard, which I think is important.
Yes, of course.
But referring to it as plain custard. I don't know if that's a Minnesota thing or what exactly is going
on
there.
What would you call it?
I mean, just vanilla, right?
Is it? I guess. Is it vanilla?
Maybe he means just not a concrete mixer or no toppings.
Oh, sure.
Okay, there we go. See, Calvin.
But that still begs the question, vanilla or chocolate? Then.
Right.
Oh.
And also, what soda is he drinking? Because it's got to be the Culver's root beer.
If we had time for a follow-up.
I was going to say.
I think that would have been it. Would it be the Culver's root beer? Everybody loves the Culver's root beer.
Oh my gosh. I want Culver's. And let's face it. We all go to Culver's and we all get the onion rings from time to time or every time. You're going to get a fry in there as well. There'll be a fry in there. It's just.
Always.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. So Tim Walz just continuing to be amazing, especially in the face of. Just so much ridiculous. I don't even call it hate. Just ridiculous, like, naysayers who just are members of Congress from Wisconsin. But we can move on. We can talk about it.
And then there's also so many funny just, like, controversies that come up with Tim Walz. And he kind of talked about this in Milwaukee on Monday. Yeah. I was there for his speech at Laborfest at the Summerfest grounds, you know, talking about, like, there was the one story this week with members of his family. They're like kind of like distant relatives from Nebraska who did like a Walz's for Trump or something like that. And then his brother was on one of the conservative TV stations talking about, there's these things with Tim that you don't know about. And the thing that he talked about was that he would get car sick as a child and nobody wanted to sit next to him in the car because he would throw up on him. Just like, well, you know, yet another promising political career derailed. By childhood car sickness, I guess.
That's what lost the election, folks.
Yeah.
It wasn't apathy. It wasn't voter turnout. It was Tim Walz as a child not being able to stay level while he's dry. Okay, excellent.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, Greg.
Yes.
What is your Culver's order then?
When I go to Culver's.
How similar is it to Governor Walz's?
It's actually not even close to
not
being
even
similar.
Close.
No, okay. Mine is I generally will get the patty melt.
Patty
melt. I love the
great.
Patty melt or fish sandwich, but generally the patty melt. I will either get the crinkle fries or I'll one up it and just get cheese curds.
Yeah.
And then if I'm getting a soda, it's going to be a root beer because that's the only soda I drink is root beer.
Sure.
And then it's going to either be a toffee or it's going to be a cookie dough concrete mixer.
I like that.
Yeah. That's,
I like that.
It's
the cookie dough
of,
concrete mixer is definitely in my rotation.
Lots. Of, what about you? What about you?
So I don't like their burgers as much as most people like their burgers.
Okay.
I go with the chicken. I go with the buffalo chicken tenders, which were off the menu for a long time. There was even like a Twitter account tracking, like they would tweet every day. And it was like still no buffalo chicken tenders. So I get the buffalo chicken tenders with blue cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And then I usually go cheese curds. Sometimes do onion rings, but I usually go with the cheese curds. I know some people have some controversial takes on the Culver's cheese curds and whether they're good or not. I think they're good.
They do the job.
They do the job. They're maybe not like the, I like the beer battered, like cheese curds, regular. Like I was at like the Lakefront.
Yes, you were. I saw that.
I was at the Lakefront Fish Fry last week and they have, I think, my favorite cheese curds in Milwaukee. And then I usually go with a root beer shake. So you do the root beer, the bottomless root beer or whatever it is there. I go with the root beer shake. I was a Cops employee as a teenager here in at Cops in Brookfield right down the road. I got hooked on the root beer shakes that we would make there, and that's always my go-to shake order.
I did not even know that was an option. Okay, I'm rethinking everything in my life.
It's folks, like a root beer float as a shake. It's really good.
Oh, boy. Okay, today I'm taking a long lunch break.
we might have to go together after exactly. The show here, yeah.
Folks, drop a comment in the live stream. Text us your favorite. What is your Culver's orders if you have one? Because we want to know what you get up to when you are eating a Culver's. You can do that by... Oh, Andrew from Maine said he didn't say anything about Culver's new bacon. It's fine. They made a big deal out of having thicker bacon. It's and I had a problem with it.
I have a problem with it.
You have a problem with the bacon?
Yes. So I'll tell my order. I go back and forth.
Oh, yeah. We didn't ask you. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I go back and forth between the chicken tenders and the Culver's Deluxe cheeseburger.
Okay.
It used to be the bacon deluxe. But this new and improved bacon is a downgrade for me personally. Ooh,
you heard
hot
it here.
Takes here.
Craig Culver, downgrade. Are you listening? He's not. But yeah, tell us what your order is. We'd love to hear from you on that. And what is story then number two?
Story number two on my list is about voter ID. There was a story this week in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about the kind of the lasting impact of the voter ID law that was passed under Republican control when Scott Walker was governor. And, you know, I think we so often talk about, you know, turnout is down in Milwaukee. Why could this possibly be? And I think there's a variety of factors of that. But I don't think the voter ID factor should be overlooked. You know, there's a lot of people who in Milwaukee don't drive, right? There's a lot of people who don't have a car in the city of Milwaukee. Just as one example. And so I think a lot of, you know, voting advocates talked about this. But I also think, you know, people will always talk about with voter ID. It's just like, well, most people have an ID. You need an ID to, you know, go to the pharmacy, go to this, get that, whatever. And I think most people in this day and age do have a photo ID. Mm-hmm. And I think we get it. Like it's public opinion polling on this particular issue suggests that most people support having some sort of voter ID law. But what I think is a problem with this, and I think is kind of overlooked in this conversation about voter ID, is that, okay, Republicans passed the voter ID law saying that, yeah, now we're going to have secure and safe and secure elections. Yeah. This is going to be the answer to our problems on, you know, quote unquote, election integrity or whatever it might be. Well, it was after passing this voter ID law, after passing some of the more other restrictions on voting, you know, under Republican control. And as soon as the Democrat won in the race for president, we're going to try to overturn the election.
Yep.
We're going to send these fake electors to Washington. We're going to try and overturn the process. We're going to continue to sow doubt. And so that is what I think the long-term effect of voter ID has really gotten to in a lot of ways because I think it has fanned the flames of conspiracy when it comes to questioning the legitimacy of the process for elections, because this was a solution in search of a problem.
Yes.
And I think this is what we have to recognize here is that the continuing to question a process that is endlessly proven to be safe and secure is only fanning the flames of conspiracy. And it has, I think, led to the fake electors, has led to Gableman, has led to all of these different problems that we've had with the Republican Party questioning the legitimacy of election results. So I think that is part of the long-term legacy of that voter ID law, of those changes that occurred under Walker. And, you know, it never accomplished what it was set out to do, was to restore confidence among Republicans who were baselessly questioning the results.
Well, I mean, I'd venture to say, Dan, and you said it perfectly in an answer, and how did you phrase it as?
A solution in search of a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because there are endless reports on this matter. And if you go to the Brennan Center of Justice, they have a report called The Myth of Voter Fraud, where they plainly put it out there. They say that this is such it isn't a problem. It's such a minute happening that no reason is given for doing something like voter ID. And you created legislation to handle something that was never a problem in the first place, and lied about it by saying it's about integrity, it's about about voting security. No, it's about you wanting to disenfranchise and, you know, take away people's ability to vote as easily as they should be. I mean, this used to be the state, and it says in the article from the JS, is that this used to be the easiest state to vote in. I mean,
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting for the day of an amendment that takes away the day of registration. I know
the same day. Do you think they're going to go after day of registration?
Robin Voss wants to put a constitutional ballot on every or constitutional amendment on every ballot that ever comes out.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind the next year, especially if Kamala Harris wins, I guarantee you there will be a measure on the next on coming in next year's that will try to take away same day registration.
And I do think it's just such a strange platform for Republicans to be constantly running on this.
Yes.
Of limiting options to the ballot, limiting access to the ballot, limiting legal voting, because it's not just, you know, trying to make things more secure. It's there's so many of these conspiracy theories. They always will say, oh, these late night ballot drops from Milwaukee. That's mm-hmm. another thing they always go to. You know, mail-in ballots during the 2020 election. Oh, we got to get rid of drop boxes. We got to get rid of this. And it, to me, is just like, you know, look, I'm a dad. I read a lot of books to my kids. Mm-hmm. This, to me, seems like giving the mouse a cookie in a lot of ways, right? You gave the mouse a cookie with voter ID. They're going to want a glass of milk with the Gableman investigation, right?
You could always turn your head to the information that proves that they were the ones that are the problem in the long run, too, I think, you know, as far as like... you look at, well, we'll talk about it more in a minute. We're coming up on a break here, but we're going to keep this conversation going about voter ID. Got Dan Schaefer here from the Recombobulation area, including the political editor of Civic Media.
That's right.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to keep talking about this. Drop a text, drop a call, comment on the live stream. Don't go far. You listen to Matt and Aaron here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron here. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matt and Aaron, who is currently on vacation, but will be returning on Monday. Very, very excited about that. You can always call or text, same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Drop a comment in the live stream. We are currently live streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter in this house, because Elon gets upset when you do. We got Dan Schaefer, who is the founder of the Recombobulation area and the political editor of Civic Media, here talking about five stories he's been looking at this past week. Now, we were just talking about voter ID. The JS Online dropped an article this week about voter ID. And one of the things, Dan, that I was trying to get out of my mouth before we went to break was the fact that when the Republicans talk about things like, well, late night ballot dumps, late night ballots in Milwaukee. Well, if we turn our heads and just look to the past, we can see that things like the amendments that were passed this year and the spring election are the ones that are going to actually hamper it and make it worse, because this was about taking away funding, access, and staffing to help make it a little bit easier for these bigger cities to start counting ballots early. So it didn't take us a week.
Yeah. Not only was the amendment there and the constitutional amendment that did pass in April, banning any kind of private or nonprofit dollars going to assist with, you know, just kind of election administration and all of that. And of course, Republicans could have turned right around and said, "Okay, we've passed this amendment to ban private dollars. We're going to put more public dollars into funding." You know what they've done since April? Nothing.
Of course, they're on vacation still.
Yeah, they're not doing anything. And so it's another example of that. And then, you know, the ballot drops thing. You know, it even passed in the assembly with, mm-hmm. with bipartisan support to get to allow clerks to begin counting absentee ballots a day early.
Yeah.
But that stalled in the Wisconsin State Senate because of, I think, basically two Republican senators, Dan Knodel and Devin Lemahieu, who blocked that from going forward. And so now we're going to have a situation where, you know, I think, you know, look at Florida. This is one of the things that Florida did after 2000. To make their process more efficient. They're now one of the first states to report on the East Coast, and they have a really efficient process now. Not exactly a blue state, right?
No.
So I think you could even just follow some of the things that Florida has done to make things more clean. But I, you know, just what we've done instead and what the Republican Party in Wisconsin has championed over and over is just these voter suppression efforts, these limiting legal access to the ballot, you know, trying to ban drop boxes, trying to make it harder to count the ballots and make it harder for people to vote. And I think the voter ID thing, again, it's just like, yeah, a lot of people have a photo ID in this day and age, but not everybody does. Yeah. And you're just creating an extra obstacle for people. For, you know, there's busy people who might not have time to go to the DMV, to sit around and make sure that they have, you know, some sort of photo ID required. And so it's just adding another layer to the process, a process that was not broken. And so it's we're trying to fix something that was not broken. And I think a better route would be to, you know, just to there's Republicans here and there who will talk about restoring confidence in the process. You know, I think former Congressman Reid Ribble, who used to represent the Northeast, has talked about this. The mayor of Waupun has talked about this. There are sane Republicans out there talking about the long-term effects of these types of things. But it's so often in the state of Wisconsin in the last 4 years, it has certainly ramped up in the other direction.
I think one of the things that might also come of it is that when you ask people, like, should they have a photo ID, I think they can also look at people who don't have photo IDs as less than. Why don't you have one? What's going on there? It builds this not needed consternation that was never there in the first place. It's like, there are kids out there who aren't getting their driver's license until they're older. They're taking Ubers. They don't want to have it. Like, there's reasons. And the other thing, too, that will always burn my grits on this one is that Devin LeMahieu, you are absolutely right. He's one of the two Republicans who kept it from being in the Senate. And when asked about whether or not this was going to come up for a vote in the Senate, he said, "That's not my job to do things like that." I'm like, it's exactly your job.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, you are in charge. So, like I said before, will not be surprised at all if in the coming years, especially if Kamala Harris wins, there will be something on the amendment or on the ballot for a constitutional amendment that says no longer will we have same day voter, because they're doing it to make it easier for people. There's just, the lines are too long, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Lines are bad, Dan. People don't want to wait. Okay. So I will not be shocked when that happens.
Well, and I'll just quote from this Journal Sentinel story as well, because they cite a study from a group that has looked into this further. I'm not finding the exact name of it as well at the moment, but the findings, quote, show a drop in accessibility that began in 2012 when Republicans took control of state government and accelerated after the voter ID law became practice around 2016. So as political science professor at UW-Madison Barry Burden quoted in the piece says, it's a small factor compared to not liking the candidates or not caring about the outcome, but for many thousands of people who have named the law as their primary barrier for not participating in the election.
Yeah.
It is affecting thousands of people.
This is just straight up voter intimidation.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I've hated this since it came in. Every time I vote and they ask me for my ID, I'm always gritting my teeth. I'm like, you don't need this.
Right.
You don't need this. But fine, I'll sign and I'll go vote and wait for some guy from my neighborhood looking over my shoulder going, what are you doing? Are you voting right? I have a really dystopian viewpoint of the election this year. It's very,
well, you know, the Republicans are trying to have these poll watchers.
Exactly.
All these different things. It's, yeah.
I mean, they're saying like, oh, I should be able to be as close as I want to the person voting. I'm like, there will be fist fights in the polling places, and I'm not looking forward to that either. So I will calm myself. I will think of Culver's. We've got a lot. we'll get to some of the live comments in a moment. We have a lot of people with a lot of opinions on their Culver's menu order.
It's a big topic.
It's a big topic.
It's an important topic.
It's a divisive one, too.
It is.
I really think so. But you are listening to me. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Mantenere right now. But until Monday, where she will be returning to the big chair. And I got Dan Schaefer here for the next half hour, which we're very excited to have him here because he is the founder of the Recombobulation Area and political editor of Civic Media. And Calvin, co-worker. He is co-worker now,
co-worker.
Too.
Co-worker.
Exactly. So go grab something to drink. Grab a snack. Stay hydrated. We'll be right back. Don't go far. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.